Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning from Luke chapter 4, Jesus, as we continue with the Epiphany season, continues to reveal himself to be the Savior, to be the Christ, to be God in the flesh, and today he speaks with authority. Authority is a word we tend to struggle with sometimes as human beings. As we grow older or as we are younger, either way, authority becomes an issue. Who has authority over us? Who has authority to say what we can do or what we can't do? Who's to say who has all of this authority and where did they get it? Where did this authority come from? I think a lot of times we see authority as something that is oppressive, something that weighs us down, something, again, that tells us what we can do or what we can't do, when we can do it, and how long we should do it, and puts in all of these rules and regulations. Authority is challenging for us as human beings. And here, Jesus, in the synagogue, speaks as one who has authority. It's not new for human beings to struggle with authority. It began all the way back in the garden. Who was it that struggled with authority? Well, Satan, of course, didn't like the authority of God. He tried to, and succeeded, in getting mankind to question God's authority, to question God's knowledge, to question what it was that God wanted for them. And it continues in much the same way today. How many are led to question the authority of God, the authority of Scripture, the authority of the church, the authority of anything besides themselves? We all want to be our own authority. In Jesus' day, as he's preaching in the synagogue, there were a lot of people who claimed to have authority. The Pharisees had authority because they knew the law, and they were the ones who led the church at the time. There were others who claimed to have authority, the Romans who ruled in that area, and all of the Caesars and emperors and everybody who claimed to have some sort of authority. But Jesus, when he speaks, it's not as though he had authority. He is authority. He is the authority. Now, if we dissect the word authority, at the very beginning of the word is the word author, the one who wrote the book. Now, if anybody could claim authority over anything, it's the one who wrote the book, right? Well, Jesus is the book. And not only that, he is the one who wrote the book. Through the Holy Spirit, he guided people to write the scriptures. He is the authority. He doesn't just have authority, he is authority. And he speaks as one having authority. His words do what they say. When he speaks through the scriptures of Isaiah, he says, "These words have been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, the words that I speak fulfill what you just have heard. It's a strange concept for us because we don't often connect those two. The people in Jesus' time didn't either until he came to do it. Jesus' words are the authority. When he speaks, that's what happens. When he tells the demons, "Come out," that's what they do. They don't question it. They don't challenge it because they can't. Because he is the authority. There's no challenge to be had When the God, the creator of the universe, tells you to get out, that's what you do. His words possess authority and power. When he tells the blind to see, they see. When he tells the deaf to hear, they hear. When he tells the mute to speak, they speak. When he tells the fever in Peter's mother-in-law to leave, it does. When he tells the waves to calm down and the winds to cease, they do. Jesus is the authority. Now, worldly authority takes on a different meaning, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is still the authority. Yes, we have laws, we have governments, we have all of these things that God has put in place to be for the good of people, for the benefit of the world. And yet, we still challenge authority on so many levels. But Jesus remains the authority. He is the authority over life itself. When he tells the dead to rise, they do. When he tells those who are lost in sin, me and you, that they are forgiven, they are. So when you hear those words, your sins are forgiven, that's what happens. They actually are. It's not just as if they were. They are. They are erased. They are removed from the book. Your sins are forgiven. Even when we challenge authority, when we challenge God's authority and say, we know better what's good for us than you do. We know what we really want, and so we're going to do it anyway. When we challenge that authority, God still has these words to say. Your sins are forgiven. Yes, there are consequences to challenging authority. If you challenge the authority of the speed limit sign and drive faster than it says you should, there's a challenge to that and consequences from that. Now, it could be as, and I say this from knowledge, as minor as a ticket. Or it could be as major as a terrible accident. There are consequences to challenging authority. When we question God's authority and challenge it, there are consequences to that. Not that God is up there with impunity punishing whoever challenges his authority, but when we say, we don't like what God has to say, so we're going to do our own thing, there are consequences to that. The world suffers. We see it all the time. We live in it every day. A world that has challenged God's authority for centuries, and we struggle. But God's word is no less authoritative. It still accomplishes everything that he sends it to do. Even today, when John was baptized and those words, your sins are washed away in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that's what happened for him. That promise of life everlasting, that promise of the gift of salvation, that promise of the Holy Spirit happened here today for real. Not just as if, or not just symbolically, it actually happened here today. You saw it. Well, if I wasn't standing with my back to you, you saw it. But it happened. John was made a child of God, not as a child of God or as if he were a child of God. He is a child of God, just as you are. When we come to the altar today to receive the body and blood where Jesus says, "This is my body," it is his body. When he says, "This is my blood," it is his blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, for the promise of eternal life and salvation. That is to be trusted today, because they're Jesus' words, and he is the authority. And we are thankful, grateful that he is the authority. Because if it was up to us, and we were our authorities, we would have messed it up a long time ago. We can barely get to point A from point B, or point B from point A, without messing up some sort of authority. And today Jesus says, "For you, I do this. I am the authority," he says, "and for you I give my life, and to you I give myself." He says later, "I have the authority to take up my life or to lay down my life." He is the authority and always will be. And for us, that's incredible good news, that we have an authority in which we can trust, in whom we can look for all things, to whom we can reach, and he will grasp and hold on to us forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, not just with authority, but as authority, over all things in heaven and on earth. And we pray that we would always trust in him above all things, look to him for all things, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.